with a message from God's Word, here's Charles Stanley.
This is the generation of earbuds, iPhones, and all the things electronic. And if you'll think about it, oftentimes you sit down to eat with someone, and what happens? They pull out this crazy iPhone, and they're talking to somebody while you're sitting there eating with them, trying to have a conversation. Or it's a sneaky deal. They put in the earbuds over here, and they're talking to somebody else while they're looking at you straight in your face. And so what happens, personally, I think it's discourteous. Just my personal opinion. And sometimes people are carrying on that other conversation, but it may not be the kind of conversation they ought to be having or with the person they ought to be having. And so this is the kind of generation we're in. Plus, it's also the generation of loud music. And if you'll think about it, you can sit across the table, say 4 feet away from someone, and you're in this very fine restaurant, boom, 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 and you can't even hear the other person talk for the music. Now, when I go to a place like that, I ask them to turn the music down. And sometimes they will. Sometimes here's what they'll do, I've discovered. They'll turn it down. About 30 seconds, they turn it back up. So you think, what are we listening to in this life? It's all noise, 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 noise. Now, I like good music, but I'll have to tell you, I don't like it too loud. And I'll tell you something else I don't like. I don't like somebody screaming it at me. There ought to be something that ought to be soothing and relaxing and not necessarily reverent. I understand this is the world we live in, but that's the kind of society we live in. But here's the thing that bothers me most. We have our ears tuned to where our mind and our heart's tuned. That's to the world. And so I have to ask the question, what are people listening to? Then I ask myself the question, what did Jesus listen to? What was the first priority of his listening day? And in Mark chapter 1, the Bible says that Jesus, a great while before day, went out into the mountain to pray and talk to the Father. His mind and heart was tuned to the Father. And I think before he wanted to listen to anything else, he wanted to hear the Father speak to his heart for that day. So I ask you this. What's the first noise you hear in the morning? What's the first voice you hear? What's the first sound you hear? Do you wake up and turn on the radio to your favorite music? Are you interested in listening to what God may have to say to you in that given day? You say, well, God's never spoken to me. Well, wait till this message is over and let's see if that's true. Because God is interested in speaking to every single one of his children. He's interested in speaking to those of you who are not followers of Jesus Christ, so that you understand who Jesus is and the kind of life he's prepared for you. So I want us to turn, first of all, to the book of Hebrews. And I want us to look at two or three scriptures here. And I want to talk about this whole idea of who are you listening to. And in Hebrews, the very first chapter and the first couple of verses, the scripture reminds us that God's been speaking. And he says in the first verse, God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets, in many portions and in many ways, in these last days, he's spoken to us in his Son, that is through Jesus, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the world. Now, I want you to go back, if you will, to John chapter 14. And I want you to look, if you will, in this 26th verse. Because God not only spoke to the prophets in the Old Testament, all the way back to Adam, but he says in this 26th verse, Jesus now getting his disciples ready for his departure to ascend to heaven. He says in verse 26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you. So what he's promised here is this, that not only to his disciples, but to all of us, after he was gone, the Holy Spirit, who would come and indwell every single believer, and he's living on the inside of you, he would give you guidance and direction and speak to your heart, so that when the Holy Spirit speaks to us, that's God speaking to us. And then in the 16th chapter and the 13th verse, he says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative, But whatever he hears, he will speak and he will disclose to you what is to come. So all of us have within us, listen carefully, a receptor. We have within us the person of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is there to enable us to hear the Lord God speak, give us guidance and direction and understanding of God's ways and his will and purpose for our life. So God loves us enough that made it possible, listen, for us to hear God speak to us even after Jesus ascended to the Father 2,000 years ago. So I'd ask you this. How much time do you give in a given day to listen to God speak to you? Now, I know I've heard all kind of reasons. Well, this, that, and the other, we're going to come to that. But the Spirit's there to speak to you. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're going it alone. You don't have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. The Spirit of God comes into your life when you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. So if you've never trusted Him as your Savior, you're going it alone. You got to make up your own mind, make your own decisions, and oftentimes make decisions that you spend the rest of your life wishing you'd never made. So what I want us to think about in this message is simply this, and that is I want to ask you a question, who are you listening to? And let's put it this way, if God did not come into your life in the Holy Spirit, how would you know what the will of God is? How would you know the mind of God about decisions you're trying to make? And so how would you know how to walk, how to live a godly life? You wouldn't know. So he's still speaking today. So when somebody says, well, God's never spoken to me, if you're a follower of Jesus, yes, he has. And one of the reasons we know that is you wouldn't be saved if the Spirit of God had not convicted you of sin and told you that you were a sinner, that you were lost, separated from God, and that you needed Christ in your life for the forgiveness of your sins and to be your friend for all eternity. So he has spoken, and if you're a follower of Jesus, he intended to speak to you through the last moment of your life. So the question is, are we listening? And that's the key. Now, I think one of the primary reasons that many people don't pray much is because they don't think God's going to say anything to them. They don't really expect a genuine answer from God. And I want to tell you this morning, God speaks to his children morning, noon, and night. It's a matter, are we listening? Do we set aside any time to hear God speak? And think about this. The sovereign God of this universe, who created it all, whose Son died on the cross for our sins, he purposely has made it possible to speak to you and me all the days of our life. From the moment we trust him as our Savior, from that moment on, he's there as our friend, our guide, the one who loves us unconditionally, so that you and I can live life at its very best. But in order for me to know what that is, I must learn to listen to him. And so, as you think in your own life, how much time do you spend in any given day or week listening to God? Or do you spend any time at all in any given day being quiet and listening to God and asking God to speak to you? Now, think about this. The fact that I think that I can live a full day and that I don't really need God's assistance and his guidance and his direction and his wisdom is a very prideful thought. You say, well, I don't think I'm prideful, but what? If I live it out in a given day and ignore him and pay him no attention whatsoever, don't listen to him, I'm expressing the attitude that I can do without him. No, we can't. So let's think about this for a moment. What are the primary reasons people don't listen to God? Well, number one, they don't have a relationship with him. Many people don't listen to him because they've never been saved, therefore they don't have a relationship with him. And therefore, because they don't, they can't hear God speak. But once you trusted him as your Savior, you have a relationship. A brother, so to speak, of the Lord Jesus Christ, or a sister of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he's speaking because he wants you to know the truth so you can walk in the truth because that's best for your life because he loves you unconditionally. A second thing is this. Many people don't expect God to speak to them. And oftentimes I will say to somebody, well, is that what God said? Well, I don't know. God doesn't speak to me. Yes, he does. Whether I listen or not is one thing. Whether he speaks or not, oh, yes, he does. He wouldn't be the God that he is if he saved you and said, okay, you do the best you can. That's not who God is. The third thing is this. The messages of the world drowns God out. As we said in the very beginning, people get up in the morning, they turn on the music, the television, say, I want to know what's going on in the world. What's going on in heaven? What's going on in your heart? What's going on in your mind? What's going on in the mind of God about you for that day? Do not let the world drown out the voice of Almighty God who loves you perfectly and intensely. Somebody says, well, I don't think he's ever spoken to me. And therefore, as a result of that, they just go on their way. And so they close their mind to the voice of God. It's as if he doesn't speak to me, and so they just put that aside as if it doesn't happen. We are all children in the eyes of God. We may be adults, but we're still learning, and we're still growing, and we still need him, and we still need to listen to him. When your children come along, they're very small, you want them to listen to you, and if they don't, yeah, they pay the consequences. At what age do you expect your children not to listen to you? Well, they expect that to be about 12 or 13. We want to get up in the 20s and 30s and 40s and 50s because we see things going on that we think need to change. At no point do you and I reach the age or the stage in life when God doesn't need to be speaking to us and we don't need to hear him. It's always there. Then, of course, people are too busy. And they'll say, well, you know what? I meant to pray this morning, but I was just so busy. Too busy to listen to God. Too busy to give God, who loves you perfectly, the time to say to you what he wants to say. Now watch this. God speaks to us. Now watch this carefully. You and I cannot decide when God is going to say a certain thing. You may be praying about something for quite some time. You lie down at night. You may be driving down an expressway or whatever it might be. And all of a sudden, God says something to you. And I can still remember where I was one day when Andy was about, he was about 11, I guess, somewhere thereabouts. We were going down the expressway, and he was talking, and I was listening. And while he was talking, God said something to me crystal clear. I have never forgotten. That's not the only time God's ever spoken. But I'm saying he can speak any time. But if you don't ever listen, you're not going to hear anything. You may listen for him to give you an answer for something. It may be a while before it happens. But God never shows up late in his timing. But sometimes we think we're busy. Then sometimes people fear the message. The reason they don't want to talk to God is because they're afraid of what he'll say. Somebody says, well, I'm afraid I'm going to have to give up this. I'm going to have to give up him, give up her, give up that. I'm afraid what he's going to do about this and that. And so if you're afraid of a God who loves you unconditionally, to the point that you don't listen to him, before long you'll find yourself in deep trouble. Because God has the best for you. You may think in your heart, well, no, he didn't prepare the best for me, because if he did, I wouldn't be where I am. It's not because of what he didn't do. It's because you didn't listen to what he said to you when he tried to speak. Sometimes it's a poor self-image. Somebody says, well, and I've heard this many times, why would God want to speak to me? Well, simply because he loves you. Simply because he loves you enough to die for you. And if he loved you enough to die for you, speaking to you is the will of God. It's what he wants to do. It's not a matter of whether we deserve it or not. It's whether we need it or not. And all of us need to hear God's voice in our life. Sometimes it's because people are angry at God. And there are a lot of people who are angry at God. And oftentimes they'll say, a God who will do such things, allow such things, I'm not interested in a God like that, simply because they can't understand, and they don't understand fully why God allows things that none of us understand. Therefore, they're angry at God because of some loss in their life or things didn't turn out the way they expected. But being angry with God, listen, it doesn't upset God. You only hurt yourself when you're angry at him. God has a reason for allowing things that we don't understand, and he has a reason for doing the things that we do understand. So just because you don't understand it is no reason to be angry with God. And he doesn't get angry with you simply because you're angry with him. Then, of course, when you ignore the reading and meditating on the Word of God, here's what happens. Watch this carefully. What happens when you ignore the Word of God the world gets larger and larger and larger in your thinking and in your feelings. And after a while, you don't pay any attention to what God says in His Word because you filled your mind and your heart and your spirit with whether we say it's loud music or whatever you read or relationships or whatever the activities may be. You cannot live a godly life. And I will say this over and over again. You cannot live a godly life and ignore this book. You cannot. God gave us this book as an instruction book. And if I'm going to listen to Him, I've got to be sensitive to what He's saying. And sometimes He speaks in the Old Testament. Sometimes He speaks in the New Testament. God speaks to us primarily, watch this carefully, primarily through His Word. He'll lead us to some passage of Scripture, but He doesn't limit it just to His Word. Then some people have a rebellious spirit. They're just living in sin. They don't want anything. Just don't tell me how I've got to live. And so as a result, they don't listen to God. They're not interested in Him. They're only interested in trying to satisfy something within them that only holy God can satisfy. This is why you see people spend out their money. They wreck and ruin their lives, their marriage, and whatever else may be going on as a result of refusing to listen to the ways, the will, and the Word of Almighty God. This book was not given to us as a souvenir. It's given to us to bring us to salvation and to show us how to live a godly life. Also, people are deceived by the sounds of the world. The world has an awesome appeal. If you'll notice the commercials, for example, they're colorful, they're light, they're joyful, there's lots of music and lots of sound, anything to get your attention. And you know what? They get your attention. But think about this. What does some commercial compare to holy, almighty God, who is the sovereign of the universe? Can He not get our attention? If He cannot, it's because we have so tuned our minds and our hearts and our ears to what the world has to say, what we're implying is we're not interested in what God has to say. And the last thing I would say is simply this. When people harbor sin in their life, they can't hear God. When you point out to them that this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong, and they ignore it and harbor sin in their life, they can't hear God. Sin, listen carefully, deafens the ears of a child of God. Sin deafens the ears of a child of God. So here's a Heavenly Father who desires to speak to you, guide you, lead you, all the things that all of us need, and yet we've allowed the world to grab our attention, grab our heart, and grab our way of life. It's tragic. Tragic when a person does not know how to listen to God. Somebody says, well, I don't know how. Well, we want you to learn how, and I'm going to help you learn how if you don't know how. But we have to ask the question, first of all, why don't people listen to Him? Now, the question comes now, how can you identify the voice of God? That's what people will often say. They'll say, well, how do I know whether it's God speaking or whether I'm just thinking this up? Well, I can understand that. And if a person's not been a Christian very long, especially, how can I discern the difference between what I want, what my will is, what I desire, what I wish, and the voice of God? How can I know the difference? So let me give you a few suggestions that'll help you think about that. And one of them is simply this. Always, without question, God's voice will be consistent with the Word of God. God will never tell you to do anything that is inconsistent with the teaching of Scripture, because this is His Word. God doesn't speak in contradictions. He doesn't say one thing one time and something else the other. So one of the ways I can know whether I'm listening to God or not is, does the voice of God match the Word of God on the printed page? Does the voice of God in your heart, in your ear, match the Word of God in the printed page? God gave us this book as a guidebook. As we said, it's not a souvenir. You don't put it on the mantle somewhere and let it have dust accumulate on it. But we read it as God's guidebook. So whatever He says to you, the way you want to check it out is go to the Word of God and say, well, what does God say? Now, remember when I was growing up, my mother had this big, thick Bible. Had all the main subjects were at large black print in the back. And so if I was thinking about something, I'd get her Bible and I'd find that word in the back that I wanted, then I'd start looking up scriptures. And I learned very early in life, if I wanted to know what God thought about something, just get an index, find the subject, and look at the page number, and turn and read it, and you'll find what God thinks. It's really just that simple. But he'll never contradict himself. A second thing is this, and that is, oftentimes what God says will conflict with human nature. God may tell you to do something, oh, I couldn't do that. I don't have the ability, I don't have the skill, I don't have the education, I don't have the experience. God may require of you something that is in absolute conflict with the way you see yourself or the way you think you can handle or cannot handle something. Because he knows how he equipped you. Every single one of us has spiritual gifts. God knows them perfectly. So therefore, if he requires of you something that you think, well, I couldn't do that, then what you're saying is God made a mistake. When God gives us a command, he doesn't make any mistakes. I may not understand it. And he certainly has challenged me to do things in my life. And my first response was, God, you have the wrong person. And sometimes I've had to say to him, I don't think I can do it. Secondly, to be honest, God, I'm just afraid. I'm just scared. So I just don't think I can do this. But wonderful God that he is, he just keeps putting the pressure there until finally we say, all right, Lord, and we open our eyes and begin to realize that he will equip us to do whatever he calls us to do. He will never call you to do something without equipping you to do it. And so we can know that he's speaking to us. The third thing is, it's always going to clash with fleshly ideas. That is, those ideas that would draw us to do things that are contradictory to the Word of God, have relationships or spend money or whatever it might be that's contradictory to the Word of God, God's not in that. And so what happens is sometimes God will give us a sense of direction that may cause us to have to lay down something, lay aside something in our life. But he's always clear about it. He'll challenge your faith. In other words, God is, listen, he is not going to allow you to remain on the same faith level. He's not going to do it. Because what that means is he's just not going to let you grow. If you insist on refusing to do what God calls you to do because you think you can't and because you just don't feel adequate, then what you're saying is you're challenging the mind of God about your faith. And so when God is speaking, one of the ways you can tell he's speaking is he's going to challenge your faith. He won't challenge you to do something that's erroneous. He'll challenge us oftentimes to do things that we don't think we can do. And then after we do them, we thank God. And what happens? This is the will of God, that our faith grows and grows and grows and grows, and he expands our understanding and our faith, and he lifts us to areas that we never would have dreamed of. That's the way God works. So when God tells you to do something or gives you a sense of direction, you think, oh, it couldn't be God because he would never ask me to do that. I can think of a few times when I've just had to say, God, to be honest, I'm scared. And that didn't upset God. What it did, it helped me to face up to the issue. It wasn't God who had the problem. I had the problem. And once I was willing to admit that, it's like my faith began to soar. Because I said, God, I'm afraid. I went straight to the Word of God and looked at other people who'd been afraid. And when they obeyed God, what did they do? That's right, to keep this book in your life while you keep your ears attuned to Almighty God. Then you will progress in your Christian life. Sometimes God speaks quietly. I can think of times in my life when I prayed about something that was a big deal to me, a big issue in my life. And you think sometimes that that God is going to have fireworks and all the rest to show you his will. No, oftentimes it's in the silent moments when everything else is just going along normal and without even thinking about what you've been concerned about, God just gives you an answer and he speaks to your heart. He works in the most wondrous ways, all of them motivated by love. Different ways because we are different at different times in our life. And then remember this, he always speaks specifically. He doesn't say, well, sort of. And why don't you think about that? In other words, he's very specific. God's not going to say, you all. He's going to say, you, call your name if necessary, whatever is necessary. And I think about how many times I've said, Lord, are you sure? Well, he was sure. I had to get sure. God loves you enough to make it crystal clear what he's saying to you. He'll never come in with some foggy idea that you have to figure out. So if I'm going to listen to him, one thing I can be sure of, I have to learn to identify the voice of God. Now, I gave you about 8 ideas to think about when you begin to ask him, Lord, am I sure this is what you're saying? Well, remember, sometimes it's not clear at first. Now, here's the reason. First of all, he's dealing with a mind that's already consumed with the idea that you can't, or that you have other interests in your life that say, well, if I have to do this, what am I going to have to do? So he's dealing with all that. If there's any sin in your life, he's going to clean you up, because he wants the best for you, and God isn't going to allow you to live in sin at the same time walk in his will, because you can't and you won't. You may start out doing the right things, but you have to deal with the sin issue. And so all of these things are very important. Now, we need to learn how to listen to God, because all of us have needs every day of our life. Right? We all have needs in our life. So if I want my needs met, and we'll be quick to turn to Philippians, my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. We just quote that verse and don't even think about it. Well, he will supply our needs. But you know what? One of the first things I have to do is to be sure to recognize that I know what my need is. And sometimes, because a person is lonely, they think their need is to get married. I'm not against marriage, but I'm simply saying that may look like what satisfies the need, but not. God knows exactly what the needs are in our life. And if we're not listening, we will choose a substitute. And we'll think, if I can just get this need met in my life, or if I can just have this thing, then that'll take care of it. No, that is not always the will of God. And so I have to decide in my life, do I want God's best? So why do I need to learn to listen to him? Because of decisions I have to make in life. Every single one of us have to make decisions every day of our life. I need to know what is the will of the Father in order to make right decisions. You said, well, about what decisions? Every decision. I can't think of a single decision I want to leave God out of. Maybe the only one is whether I wear black socks or brown socks. So I settled that issue that all of my socks are black, so I don't have to worry about that. Somebody always wants to bring up something foolish like that, so I thought I'd settle that issue. But God is interested in every single aspect of our life, and therefore, because he is, and because we need encouragement in our life. And all of us reach those stages where we need it. Well, how are you going to get it? Listen, nobody can encourage your heart like Almighty God. But if you don't listen to him, you won't get it. It won't be there. He is the great encourager. And then, of course, we need comfort. All of us have those situations in life where we just need God to put his arms around us and remind us that he loves us unconditionally, no matter what's going on in life. And the devil will just attack you and attack you and attack you. And God's always there to comfort us, whatever's going on in life. But you listen, you can call on him 24 hours a day, every single second. Listen, think about this. He is attentive to you at all times, in all circumstances, in all situations. And I personally, it grieves me when I think about people who are living out their life and do not even know that they have a wonderful, loving Savior who is there to help you through difficult times. What do you do when you lose a loved one without the Father's comfort? What do you do when you, without the Father's guidance and direction, when you lose your house and lose your job and lose all these things? He's there to help us. And what is he doing? He's there to remind us that he's in charge. He can handle it. The many things in life we can't handle, he can handle whatever we need to handle in life. Then sometimes we just need strength. The most powerful strength is strength in the mind, in the heart. Yes, I can. Yes, I will, Father. Thank you. Thank you for giving me the will, and thank you for giving me the strength, the determination, the confidence, and the assurance that I can do. We all need strength at times. And what did Paul say? I can do all things through what? Christ who strengthens me. We all need it. And no one can strengthen you like the Lord Jesus Christ. How do I know the will of the Father? By talking to Him and listening to Him. People say, well, I've prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed, and I haven't heard a thing. You know why? Because you haven't listening. You're doing all the talking. And when I think about people who say, well, I have a prayer time and I read the Bible and pray and then I go to work. Well, did you read the Bible and pray and take time to stop and see if God wanted to answer something? Listen, this is so simple, you just run right over it. He needs us to be quiet and to be still, primarily if He's going to talk to us and to be heard by us. Now, I'm sure I grew up with this whole attitude, but it's okay. I grew up thinking and believing that if you didn't get on your knees and talk to God, more than likely He wouldn't hear you. And somebody says, well, that's not right. Well, I agree it's not right. But I'm glad I learned that because it makes me realize that every time I get on my face before God, at least I'm expressing reverence that I'm talking to Holy God. Now, He doesn't just speak to us when we're on our knees. He can speak to us anytime, anywhere. But there's something about acknowledging who He is, being reverent before Him, listening to Him, and asking for guidance. Do you think God won't answer that? Yes, He will. There's not a single person who's listening to this. If you want to know the will of God for your life, He will tell you what His will is under certain conditions. You got to get your heart right. You got to give yourself to Him. You got to deal with sin in your life. In other words, you see, here's what happens. Sin's like this. It clouds the mind, clouds the ears so we can't hear. When we deal with those things, our mind is clear, our heart's clear, we can hear what God has to say, and we get the message. If you're going to find the will of God, you've got to be able to listen to Him. Another thing, if you want God's best in your life, you've got to learn to listen to Him. Let me ask you a question. Do you ever think about God as saying, okay, I'm going to give you third best. I'm going to give you my second best. No. We think of God doing what? Giving us His very best. That's His very best that suits your life at that moment. He has the best. He's not a second-rate anything. If I'm listening to Him, I will choose His choice of best. If I'm not listening to Him, I'll think, well, I couldn't do any better, and I don't deserve that. So it's the first thing that's come along in a while, so I'll take this. That's not the way God operates. God operates on, here's my child, here's the need, what's best for my child at this time, and is this the proper time to give that? This is why people who need a job just say, well, I'll take anything I can get. That's not God's way. Somebody says, well, I got to have one. God always has the best. And a number of people who've said to me, I started to take this one, but it's like God stopped me. Now look what I have. They got more money. They got a better job. They got a higher position. And over and over again, I've heard that. We wait till God gives direction because He has the best. And in every one of those cases, they came out far better because they listened to what He had to say. What about the assurance of your salvation? If you don't listen to God, you won't have it. And one of the primary reasons many people don't have assurance is because they're not listening to Him. Here's what they're doing. They're looking at their conduct, looking at circumstances, looking at how the world operates. Well, maybe I'm saved, maybe I'm not. Salvation is not dependent upon feelings. Salvation is the work of the Holy Spirit convicting us of sin, bringing us to the realization that Christ has died for us and paid the sin debt in full for us, and that if we place our trust in Him, He will save us once and for all eternity. He wants it to be clear. God would not want us to be wondering about whether we are saved or not. If you're not listening, then the world will cloud your mind. And there have been many believers who've stepped out of the will of God listening to false doctrine, and somebody convinced them, well, if you were saved, you wouldn't do this, or whatever it might be. Then I need Him to direct me in ways that protect me. All of us need to hear the voice of God speaking to us to protect us. Protect us from wrong decisions. Protect us from wrong relationships. Protect us, for example, in things that we make, like the purchase of a home or a car or whatever. You need to know what's the mind of God. What is He saying to us? And so we need to hear Him to protect us. No one can protect you like God can protect you. But if I'm not listening, and I'm just sort of making choices on my own, I'm going to get in trouble. Now, which leads me to the last thing I want to say, and that is the consequences of failing to listen to God. First of all, there is the consequence, if I don't listen to Him, I allow the world to draw me away from Him. And I think about a few people that just on my mind I've been praying for lately who are not listening to Him, and I know they're not. And the world or somebody or something, whatever it may be, is drawing them away from God. I can see it happening. I know it's happening. And when I talk to them, I know it's happening. And I want to say, is that what God has told you? Well, I think so. And when I say to them, God would never tell you to do that, their answer is, well, how do you know? Well, so then I know, you know, we just into a big argument. And so I just have to say, well, Lord, you're going to have to show them. And I hope it's not too late that you show them what's going on in their life. There are consequences to ignoring the voice of God. So we get drawn away. Secondly, we get easily deceived. Listen, when your friends buddy up with you and they tell you how things ought to be and decisions you ought to make, and it just sounds fantastic, and you're not listening to God but listening to them, oftentimes you get in deep trouble. What is God saying? This is why, listen carefully, this is why it is so dangerous to drink. You say, well, now, a little bit of this never hurt anybody. Oh, yes, it does. It can kill you. It can so affect your mind, your reasoning, your thinking, that you can make decisions that absolutely destroy your whole future as a result of not listening to God, but allowing your mind to get so cluttered with alcohol that you make decisions that you wish you'd never made. Whatever affects the way I think is very, very important. And you need to ask yourself the question, am I living the kind of life that I don't let my mind get clouded with anything that will affect the way I see and hear God speak to my heart? Very, very, very important. Besides the fact that it affects your children. In other words, they're going to do whatever you do, and usually children do more than we do. We make costly decisions when we're not listening to Him. And I can think of a few decisions I've made that were not the right decisions. I was going on what was reasonable. You can't go by reason when you're dealing with God. And so there are consequences to not listening and doing it on our own. If we took a survey, you're going to find people who'd say, yep, I made a decision on my own without asking God. Or people who say, well, you know, I was out one night with my friends and we were all just drinking and having a good time and I made a decision that has affected me all of my life. Listening to God is an awesome protection for us. Then, of course, we're going to make decisions that appeal to the flesh. What do I want? What do I feel? How does it look? We're going to make decisions that will cause us to miss God's best. Think about this, that God has the best for you. And He wants you to have you. You say, well, at this point in my life, is that true? Well, let me just tell you this. He gives you the best when you expect the best and you listen to Him and follow Him. Doesn't mean you're perfect. We all make mistakes. And God's an awesome God of forgiveness. But He knows our heart. He knows our mind. He knows the deepest desires of our heart is to walk in obedience to Him. We'll miss His will. And I think one of the most tragic things in life is for a person to miss the will of God for their life, making decisions very early that affect them for years to come. And sometimes I just want to get a hold of somebody and just shake them and just say, look, we're not talking about how it's going to affect you today. I'm talking about 10 years from now, 20 years from now, 30 years from now. You're going to be affected by this the rest of your life. Think. And I'm thinking about somebody I've been talking to and praying for and listening. And no matter what I've said so far, I hadn't registered. I said, look at your life. You've got your whole life in front of you. You're willing to throw it away just for something today. Nothing could be more disastrous than that. You don't obey him, you can wreck and ruin your life. And I think about how many fine, wonderful young people. They set their course with no thoughts of future consequences. And there are some consequences that cannot be altered. Not only that, we're not the only ones who hurt when we make wrong decisions. Hurts the family, the father, the mother, the sons, the daughters. Everybody gets hurt. When somebody in the family takes a wrong turn, refuses to listen to God, makes a decision that has lasting effects, everybody gets hurt. How many broken-hearted mothers, broken-hearted fathers, broken-hearted parents, broken-hearted kids who see what's happened to their families? Somebody wasn't listening to God. And of course, there are eternal consequences. Now watch this. Somebody says, well, but I'm saved. That's not the only eternal part. There are eternal consequences when you reject Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You choose to refuse personally, deliberately, willfully, Christ as your Savior. Well, the consequences of that is this. That is, you spend eternity separated from God. You're lost. And all the reasoning and the encouragement the world has to offer cannot make you saved. And how many people say, oh, but you've been so good. You've done so many good things, la, 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 la. And one of the things that breaks a pastor's heart is for someone to pass away. You know that they were living in sin. You know they're not saved. And naturally, understand this. It grieves me that the wife or the children or the parents will say about the kids, but they were so sweet, or they were so good. He was such a fine man. He went to church. La, 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 la. That's not the issue. The issue is, did they trust Christ as their Savior? It's an eternal consequence. But suppose you are saved and you choose not to live the will of God. All these things, other things we've talked about, are the other consequences. When you stand before Almighty God and you stand before him to give an account for your life, not just salvation, but your life, you lose your eternal rewards. You see, the devil wants you to think only about today. How do I feel today? What am I going to win and lose today? God wants you to think about the future. So when you and I leave this life, on the other side, we will be rewarded or we'll lose our reward according to how we've lived. That's why it's so very important that you and I listen to God very carefully and walk obediently before him every day. It's the best way, the only way, the way that will reap the greatest harvest in your life now and hereafter. You may be listening and saying, well, I'm not a Christian. You mean I'm going to miss heaven? You're going to miss it. But I've been good. I go to church. I give. I try to do the right thing. Am I going to miss it? You're going to miss it. The only way you won't miss it is to receive by faith Jesus Christ as your personal Savior based on nothing that you've done, nothing that you will do, but on the fact, the truth, the eternal truth, that God sent him to the cross, paid the price for your sins, your guilt, your shame, your dishonor, with his blood. When he died on the cross and shed his blood, that paid your sin debt in full. But it only is applicable to you when you accept him as your Savior and you accept his death as payment for your sin. That is the most important decision in your life. You need to stop listening to your friends. You need to stop looking around to see what looks good and ask yourself the question, what's the mind of God? What is God saying? And I can tell you, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, he's saying to you right now, what this man is telling you is the truth. It is a truth by which you will be judged. It is a truth that will make it possible for you to go to heaven. It is a truth that you'd be lost forever if you do not respond correctly. If you question it, you just get your Bible and start reading. I just told you the truth. He says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart in God's resurrection of His Son. Placing your trust in Him, you will be saved, period. That's a choice. If you're wise, you will listen carefully and make a wise choice. And Father, how grateful we are that You've made it very clear and very simple in Your Word that our eternal destiny can be settled in one decision. And I pray that You will impress upon every hearer how very, very important it is that we listen to You and obey You. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now listen carefully for a second. You can walk out of here and say, I heard that sermon on listening to God. Or you can walk out of here and say wisely, before I go to bed tonight, I'm going to determine in my heart that I'm going to give God some time every day. It may be just a few minutes. But I'm going to set aside some time to listen to holy, righteous, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God. I'm going to listen to Him about my life today and hereafter. You'll walk out with a wise decision. Change your life and protect you. That's my prayer. Now listen. It's your life. Your future. And all I've said to you this morning is simply this. Listen to Him and watch God work in your life.
You've been listening to the teaching ministry of Dr. Charles Stanley, speaker on the In Touch television and radio broadcasts. To order additional copies of this message, or to order CDs or DVDs of other messages by Dr. Stanley, call toll-free in the United States, 1-800-323-3747, or place an order online when you visit our website, intouch.org. If you prefer to write for more information, our mailing address is In Touch, Box 7900, Atlanta, Georgia, 30357. This has been a production of In Touch Ministries, Atlanta, Georgia.